morning, church.
Good morning, Pastor.
Please, you may be seated. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about family. Amen. How many of us know that even as a church, we're family? Amen. We're a family. Amen. And I want to start this morning by saying that we have not been brought together just by coincidence. We didn't just come together by accident. Are you with me? How many of us know that God establishes, God plants, amen? God places people in places, amen? So, in other words, what is happening this morning is not by accident. You've been here, even in this family, is not by accident. It's not by coincidence, amen? It is because God has established you and planted you into this family. Amen. Another thing that we know about, we realize about families is that the family has a head. Amen. God the Father is the head of this family. Amen. And even in the family of Fountain of Life also has a head. Amen. There's a Father, God the Father. There's also the Father in the form of the pastor of the house. Amen. I'm sure I don't need to say that to you guys. Amen. But you know, most times in a family, sometimes you find yourself in the family and you find out that people want to pick who their father is. Are you with me? You know, they're looking around to find out who is my father. And when we're talking about father, you know, some people think father is by age. No, it isn't. When we're talking about, if I'm talking about spiritual father this morning, I'm not talking about in terms of age. Because if I look around here, I can find a couple or so, one or two, that probably might be older. Amen. So if I'm saying father, I'm not talking in terms of age. Amen. You know, but like I said earlier, I said, you know, sometimes some of us want to pick who our father is. But you know one thing about father, you don't pick your father, you discover him. Amen. You don't pick who your father is, but you discover who your father is. So when I started this morning, I said to you guys that even in this family of Fountain of Life, the pastor, who happens to be myself, I'm the father. Amen. And you know, some of you, your minds, if I could read some of your minds, some of you might be saying, you're the father. Do you understand? Some of you might even be saying that I don't even like you as a father. And I don't even know, some of you might be thinking, you are not even an ideal father, you know, but permit me to put it this way, some of you guys as children are not even ideal children, but we have one another anyway, hallelujah, you might be thinking he's not an ideal father, the way he talks, amen, so, but you have me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, you have me. And by his grace, I'm here to stay.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 15. It says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, it says, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Amen. If you look at that scripture, it says, there are so many instructors in Christ. But when it comes to the Father, what does it say? It says they are not many, which means they are few. Amen? When you look at that scripture, it says to me that not all fathers are fathers. Amen? Some are just instructors. Amen? One thing you know about the Father is that a father has a burden for the children. Amen? A father has responsibility towards the children. Amen. A father receives the harrow for the children. Are you with me? You know, when you look at an instructor is just someone that just teaches concerning an area, instructs. But the father is different from an instructor. The father is an originator. Amen. Life begins with the father. Amen. He accepts responsibility. And part of the responsibilities of a father is to not only teach his children, but also to train them. Amen. You know, a father is not a father if he's not going to be honest with the children. Are you with me? And so please permit me this morning to share my mind with you guys as a father. You know, we've spoken about parenting. We've spoken about living a single life. Allow me this morning to share with you the responsibility, the burden that lies even sometimes at the heart of the father. Amen? You know, I said earlier, the father has a responsibility not just to teach, but also to train. Amen? The father has this burden upon himself in a way that the way I live my life, not just only does it affect me, but the father needs to realize that it affects other people around him. Amen? So, you know, as a father, there are certain things that I would have loved to do, but I cannot do because of the responsibility and the burden that is upon my life. I don't know, maybe you understand what I'm trying to say. One key responsibility, apart from some of the other things that we've mentioned in the last few weeks, is that I said a father will teach. A father will train. Amen? As a father or as a parent, when you teach or you train your child to give to God, when the time comes, that child will also give to you. Amen? You see, a child that is not trained to give, whether or not the child is a millionaire, because that child has not been trained to give, will not give to you also. Amen? Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, I believe verses 4 and 5. God has a particular way of doing things. He has a pattern. He says, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there were priests who offered the gifts according to the law, who served the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things. What does verse 6 say? Okay, I don't think that's the scripture I'm looking for. Is that Hebrews 8:4? Okay. The bit I'm looking for is that, I think it might be in the first one, where anytime God does something, he has a particular pattern and a particular way of doing things. Amen? He says, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there were priests who offered a gift. What does verse 5 say? Not the verse 5 that I'm looking for. He says, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. Amen. You know the God that we serve, he always has a pattern when he does everything. He has a particular way to do things. And in the same way, when it comes to spiritual things, the Father and son, there's a father and son order that God has put in place on the earth. Amen? The father and son order is where training is done. The father and son order, and when I say son, I also mean daughter. Amen? When I say father, father, mother, son, daughter, son spiritually also means, you know, when the Bible talks about man, it's also talking about women. Amen. So I'm not talking about man male. I'm talking about man, or I'm talking about son, daughter. Amen. The Father has a way that in the things of this world, spiritual things, the Father has the Son and a order. It's the Father-Son order in place. Amen? When it comes to training, the Father, the Bible has a responsibility for the Father to pass certain kind of training. So the Father and Son order is where development takes place. Amen? The Father and Son order is where passing of the anointing also takes place. Amen? When you look at the life of someone like Elijah and Elisha. You know, there was a time when Elijah was about to leave, and Elisha said to him that, I want a double portion of what? Of your anointing. Amen? You find out that when you look at a scripture, you find out there is always a father and there is a son. Amen? And it's always been said in scripture that the son will follow in the steps. Amen? Of the Father. So when it comes to passing anointing, it's always from the Father to the Son. Amen? And it's not in all cases that the Son is biological. Are you with me? Sometimes the Son is spiritual. Amen? The Son sometimes is the one that serves the Father. Are you with me? So it's not in all cases that it's biological. Amen? Another thing that you find out in the Son or Father-Son order is that they have to be intimacy and relationship. Amen? They have to be what? Intimacy, and they have to be relationship. Amen? The Father has a key responsibility. If you look at what happened in 1 Kings chapter 2, from verse 1, and when David was about to die, he called his son Solomon, and he gave him certain instructions. That's the responsibility of the Father. 1 Kings chapter 2, from verse 1. It says, now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Then he said to him, be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgment, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he has spoken concerning me, saying, he says, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So you find out also in scripture, when you look at those kings, God already has in place a son that will succeed them. Amen? If you look at that, one of the key responsibilities of the father is to mature the son into self-government. Amen? One of the key responsibilities of a father is to train a child so that that child is matured later on in life to be able to manage his or her own affairs. Amen? That is why there's that key responsibility. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 9, he says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? He says, by taking heed according to your word. So if you have a father that is not training their child or training child or a mother that is not training their child in the way of God, then they are lacking in their responsibility. Amen? Severally in scripture, you will see the father-son relationship. When you look at God, the Bible says that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And what did the son come to do? To reconcile us back to him. Amen? When you look in that scripture, you realize that it was the Father and the Son working together to redeem man. Amen? It didn't say that the Father compelled the Son. It did not say that the Father made the Son. There was a cooperation between Son. The Bible says he sent his only begotten Son so that the world can what? Be saved. Amen? It wasn't the Father forcing the Son to say, you have to go against the Son's wish. Amen? When you look in Scripture, you just find Father-Son order that God has put in place. Amen? When you look at Abraham and Isaac, you see again another father-son relationship. In fact, how does the son behave under the knife? When Abraham took Isaac to the altar for him to be sacrificed, a 14-year-old boy, and the Bible makes us realize that Abraham was over 100 years old when he had Isaac. So by this time, Abraham must have been 115 or 114. But the Bible makes us realize that when they were going to sacrifice, they got to a point where Abraham said to the servants that you just leave myself and the boy here, we will go yonder and we'll sacrifice and then we'll come back. Then all of a sudden, the Bible makes us realize that the son asked him, I can see the wood and all the things that we need to prepare for the sacrifice. He says, where is the lamb? He said to him, he said, God will provide. And later on, the Bible makes us realize that Abraham now tied his son and put him on the altar. How many of us thought that a 114-year-old man can overpower a 14-year-old boy? Again, that is the working of the Father and of the Son. Amen? In all Scripture, one thing that comes across mainly is that the Father can, well, every single thing that the Father does, he always does it by or through the Son. That's why the Bible makes us realize that when you ask anything in the name of the Son, it says, it will what? It will be given to you. Amen? But another thing that you realize when you look at the Father's Son in the equation is that the Son does not have an agenda of his own. The Son always does the will of the Father. Amen? You saw that in the point of in the story of Isaac and Abraham. There is no way that Abraham would have been able to overpower him if the boy decided to run. Amen? So even in the sacrifice on the altar, Isaac must have cooperated with his father. Amen? Must have agreed for him to tie him. Amen? But you know, sometimes you have a father-son or father-daughter relationship where the father gives an instruction to the daughter or to the son. Or you have a place where the father, mother turns the daughter or the son off. How do you react? How is the son expected to react? The son under the knife, how do they react? You have some sons and daughters because you're telling them off for something that they've done, and the reaction you get is not like the son under the knife. Jesus Christ knew what his assignment was. He knew he was called to do the Father's will. Amen? It doesn't matter what happens. Even there was a time that himself and his parents, they went on a journey. And later on, his parents saw him that he had been missing for about 3-4 days. When they later located him, what did he say to them? He said, why are you anxious? Don't you know that I have to go about doing my father's business? Amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 46. The mother was accusing him. What have you done? Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Verse 49, he said to them, why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? Jesus, as a son, knew what his father's business was. In fact, if you look in Scripture, 12-year-old of this age, you'll be taking them to children's party and disco. But at that age, Jesus knew the son. He knew what his father's business was. His father's business took priority. Amen? But one key bit that I keep, that I'm trying to say to us this morning, is that anything that the father does, the father always uses the son. Amen? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And if you look at from verse 4, it says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which will be spoken afterwards. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses, the Bible says, Moses as a servant. He says, Christ as a son over his own house. Amen? One thing that I've said earlier that God puts in place is that God puts a son, a father, and son order in place to build. If you remember the story of Eli, believe in 1 Samuel chapter 2 or so, Eli, the Bible says concerning him that he was to be the prophet or the priest of Israel, and then he was to hand over to his sons. But because he couldn't bring up his son in the way of the Lord, God rejected the sons because they always defile the offering of the people. But guess what God did? God now brought another son, Samuel. Because I don't know how many of us realize that Samuel actually grew up in Eli's house. So when his biological son could not take over the mantle, God provided a spiritual son. Amen? So Samuel had to learn the ropes from Eli. Eli was not rejected for his own self. He was rejected because of his sons. But he still had to take Samuel through the ropes. Remember when God called Samuel and he had to say to him, by the third time he said to him, you must answer a particular way. Amen? So Samuel looked up and learned so many things from Eli. Again, we will see the father and the son order. Amen? But one thing about God is that God builds with sons. Amen? When God builds his house, he does what? He builds with sons. How do you know? You identify a son and a daughter in the house by their mindset, by their attitude. Sons and daughters have an attitude to build the house, to build the church. They're always looking for ways for things to improve. They're always looking for ways to improve things, to make things work. Amen. But those that are not sons and daughters, all they're just interested in is themselves. They just come, serve, and just leave it. God builds his house with sons and daughters, not with servants. And like I said this morning, what's the difference? The difference really is in the mindset. Amen. The servants just have an attitude of just serving their time and just doing their bit, and that's it. In fact, one key attitude sometimes about servants or those that are not sons is that they are in it for what they can get. It's not about God. The you just come in there for what you can get. And most times, those that are not sons and daughters, one of the key ways that you know them is that once they have gotten what they want, they are gone. Amen? But the sons and daughters are not so. In fact, the sons and the daughter, they remain in the house. It doesn't matter how far they go. There are times when I'll phone my daughter in hall. Oh, how are you? How are you doing? And one of the first things she will ask me is, how is mom? How is my brother? How is my sister? How is the church? What's happening at home? Is everything well? Are you with me? That is the responsibility of a son and a daughter. But you find out that some sons and some daughters, once they've gone, that's it. They don't look back any longer. Hallelujah. The attitude of a son and a daughter is to build the home, to build the church. If you're a Sunday school teacher, teaching in Sunday school, are you teaching the people or you are building the people for Christ? The son will build. The one that pretends to be the son or the daughter will teach, and the attitude is whether they do it or not, whether there are four of them that turns up, it doesn't matter. Amen? Whether there are 50 or 10 people, it doesn't matter. But guess one thing with the attitude of the son and the daughter. The attitude of the son and the daughter is not just to teach. They have a heart connection. So if something is not going well in the house, they are concerned about it. Their prayer is about it. If things is not working well, their heart is there to fix it. Amen? When there is rubbish on the floor, maybe at the entrance of downstairs or on the stairs, maybe you find a piece of paper that shouldn't be there. The attitude of the son or the daughter is they will pick it up. It doesn't look right. But the attitude of someone who is not the son or the daughter will just walk past. It's not my job. Amen? The son and the daughter will build. Amen? God uses the sons and the daughters to do what? To build. When you look at the son and the daughter, one of the key things that you will notice is that there is a heart connection. Amen? They love the people. So which means that, you know, sometimes at the end of the service, we announce Indian Network Card. If someone has to remind you, Indian Network Card, before you look out for your family, there's a problem. Are you with me? You know, although we do say that filling an Indian Network Card and then we'll call someone, but truly, if you haven't seen your brother or your sister for a few days, do you need an Indian Network Card for anyone to remind you? So the son and the daughter in the house, they have a different mindset and a different attitude. Amen? A servant does the job. In fact, a servant will just do it because he's been asked to do it. But the son will go more than just being asked to do it. Amen? Another key difference that you see in the attitude of the son, daughter, and the servant is that the son, daughter will take initiative. The servant will only take orders. When it comes to dealing with the servants, you need to be asking, has this been done? Has that been fixed? Have you moved the table? But when it comes to the son or the daughter, you don't need to worry. Why? Because they have a heart connection towards the house. Amen. Another way that you will identify the son, daughter, and those that doesn't really belong to the house is sometimes in their language. When the son and the daughter in the house, when they talk, they will say, our building, our church. They will use the words such as our, we are in this together. We are moving together. We are believing God that everything will be well. But when you see the attitude of the servant, someone who is not a son or a daughter of the house, you identify it particularly when there's a challenge. When there's a problem, they'll say, their problem. They, them, those people. Amen? It's the language that you hear. In fact, the attitude and the language of someone who is not a son and a daughter is always about I. Me. Are you with me? It's a language of the individual. But when it's a family, a son, daughter in the house, it is we. When we have when there's a challenge, we have this challenge. When there's a problem, we have this problem. When something is not going right, we are in this together. But someone who is not a daughter and a son, immediately there's a challenge, we're not there with you. In fact, they begin to point fingers. It's his fault. If you have done that, are you with me? But God uses the son and the daughter to build. Amen? That's why the Bible will say, if one is hurting, we are all hurting. Amen? If one member of Fountain of Life is going through a challenge, we are all going through the challenge. That's the attitude of a family. Amen? That's the mindset of a son and a daughter. The family will come together because one member of the family is not what? Isolated. Sons and daughters speak in terms of family, love, togetherness. Servants start talking. You know, sometimes the servant would, those who are not sons and daughters, they might use the word we, our church, when things are going well. We are in it together. When the slightest challenge, there are problems. I'm not involved. Servants have a more self-interest. The son has the interest of the father. Amen? When there's a storm, when there's a challenge, when there's a problem, it reveals the heart of the son or the daughter. It reveals the heart of the son or the daughter towards the house. Another thing that you will see with the son and the daughter is that they hold their father's heart. When things are going well, they celebrate together. When things are not going well, they are in it together. Amen? One key bit that you see about the son and the father, or the son and daughter, is that when a new member joins the family, the son and the daughter will not bond them to themselves. They will bond that new member to the family, to the house. Amen? But the attitude of someone who is not a son and a daughter will bond that new family, that new person that comes into the church, to himself or to herself. In fact, you need to be asking them, did you call this person last week? Do you have his number? They will keep that number to themselves. Are you with me? That's the wrong attitude. When a new member comes in to the house, the son and the daughter needs to bond that new member to the house. Amen? You are in the prayer team. we are in the ushering team. You did not go home for 1 week. Maybe you are in the university. Because you've not been home for a week or 2 weeks, does that mean you should forget home? No. You are in the ushering team or the prayer team. You've missed 2 Sundays. At any point, did you pick up the call to find out how was the service today? I know there are 4 or 5 of us in the team. And I know that because I'm not in church, the rest of you guys must have been under pressure. How did it go? That shows the heart of the son and the daughter. Amen? That shows the heart of the son and the daughter to the house. Amen? Remember, the heart of the son is always to do the will of the father. Amen? Always to please the father. In fact, when you look at Jesus Christ, you say, I have no agenda of my own. He says, my meat is to do the will of the father. In other words, what he's saying in there is that my priority is to serve God. Amen? The son has no self-interest. He has no agenda. He only does what he sees his father do and the agenda of his father. So in other words, the son and daughter, they are always faithful to the house. Always faithful. Amen? How many of us remember the story of Noah when he got drunk? Noah had 3 sons. The first son saw him when he got drunk and he was naked. He went and called the other 2 sons. Guess what the other 2 sons did? They had a massive cloth. They walked backwards to cover the nakedness of their father. Those are sons. Amen? And when we're saying cover, I'm not saying a cover-up. Are you with me? To cover the nakedness. To cover the weakness of the house. The son and the daughter will have a heart that concerns the house, the church. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. It says, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Prophet Samuel. God told Samuel after he rejected Saul that he was to go to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as king. Jesse prepared the other sons that an important prophet is coming to the house. But the youngest son, the Bible records that he was faithful in the farm looking after his father's. And you know, when I say Prophet Samuel, that story might look as if it's in the Bible. Our general overseer, if someone were to say to you that the general overseer is coming to your house, and you are preparing for the general overseer, and your last son was not informed, you sent him to Tesco or to Sainsbury's, and the general overseer is coming for 1 hour, and the duration of the message that you sent him to do was going to take about 2 hours. I just want you to look at the picture that way. But David, the Bible says that he was faithful in doing his father's work. And guess what? If you are faithful, God will locate you in there. But you know what happens most times is that people want to work their promotion. That's why when they're doing things, their heart is not in there. They're only doing it to be seen, to be heard, so that the people will see me doing it, but the attitude and the mindset behind doing it is not right. But then the Bible says that God looks at where? The heart. Amen. In David's faithfulness, God located him. His father had no plans for him to be there in the meeting at all. But because he was faithful, Prophet Samuel had to say to them that you will not sit down or stand up until he comes. Amen. In fact, when he was even coming to be anointed, he didn't have any time to shower. He must have been smelling like this sheep. Amen. He had no time to shower, but as a son. Sometimes the sons and the daughters, and I want you to please hear me very well. Sometimes the sons and the daughters think sometimes that I have to go out of the house for my purpose or for my calling to be fulfilled. It's not in all cases. Sometimes you can fulfill that purpose and that calling of God in the house. Amen? When the prodigal son, when he walked up to his father and asked for his inheritance, he had all the rights to ask. But the problem with the prodigal son was that he asked at the wrong time. Amen? Because the inheritance belongs to him. But he asked at the wrong time. Amen? Every single time I look at that story, you know what it teaches me? It teaches me that if you wanted a quick success, the rising might be quick, but it's only for a matter of time. If you remember what that son said, the son that asked for his inheritance, he said, how many of my father's servants are better than me? That's after he has taken his inheritance and squandered them. That's why I said that even if a son is to leave the house, or a daughter is to leave the house, he must not break that connection. Because there is also what you call spiritual cover. One key bit about sons and daughters is that in the house, they see themselves as those who inherit the house. Their hair. So their attitude to the house is different. That's why if the son and the daughter realizes that I have an inheritance in this house, they will look after the house. Because they know that in a matter of years, the house is mine. The house will automatically be what? Come to them. They have a part of the house. So their attitude towards the house is different. But a servant, the attitude of the servant is, I do my role, I get paid, and that's it. That's why a servant will go and will not look back. But it doesn't matter how long a son or a daughter goes, they will look back. What is happening in the house is all well. How? I know we have a challenge, but we're in it together. The son that loses connection with the house or with the home, they have short rises of success and celebration. But it's only a matter of time. I said earlier about the father. A father, not only does he have a burden, a real father doesn't just look at the gifting and the anointing. A real father looks at the character. It doesn't matter how gifted or anointed the son or the daughter is. If character is not there, it's a matter of time. to bow our heads this morning. One key question that should ponder in our hearts is, am I a son? Am I a daughter? What's my attitude towards the house? Am I building or am I pulling down? Am I just doing my bit just because they said I should do it? Or do I have a heart connection? Am I connected to the house? Is my agenda the agenda of the Father? Or do I have an agenda of my own? Why don't you just begin to examine yourselves this morning? A son sees themselves as having an inheritance. Spiritually, God has a father, son, daughter, order in place. Eli had biological sons. But when God could not use them to carry on the mantle of the priesthood, he provided a spiritual son. Am I truly a son or a daughter? Heart connection. Or am I just doing it for myself? The Bible says, if you have been faithful in what is another man's, if you have not been faithful in what's another man, who will give you what's your own? Are you faithful in the Father's work? Are you faithful in the Father's house? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you give us a heart of a son, a heart of a daughter. We know, Lord, that it's only by grace, oh God. Father, we ask for a heart that is receptive to your word. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.